From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A report by a number of environmental organizations has found widespread contamination at the nation's coal waste sites. An analysis of about 250 coal-fired power plants around the country found major toxic contamination into groundwater supplies, including by such chemicals as arsenic, lithium, and chromium, at levels far higher than allowed by the EPA. More than 90% of coal waste sites that are required to monitor groundwater contamination were found to be releasing these toxic chemicals at much higher levels than they're supposed to. The analysis was based on data that was forced to be made public last year by legislation that passed in 2015 under President Obama. Well, the EPA is currently headed by former coal lobbyist Andrew Wheeler, who may be unlikely to take action over the report's findings. My guest is Lisa Evans, senior counsel with Earth Justice. Earth Justice was one of the organizations that headed this research and analysis. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
So how important is this report? I mentioned it's the first such report that came out of the information that was released last year, which was the first time that such information was released in such a scope. It was made public because these companies were essentially forced to. So this seems like a pretty significant report.
Absolutely. I have been working on the coal ash issue for 19 years, since 2000, wow. And this is a watershed event. This is the first time we have had comprehensive industry data. As you said, it was required to be reported by utilities pursuant to the 2015, what we call coal ash rule, which was the rule that we had sued EPA for, and finally the Obama administration in 2015 provided us with a federal rule that for the first time required all coal plants to monitor their groundwater for contamination, among other things. So this information became available. Industry tried to hide the ball. They published reports that were over 2,000 pages long, many of them.
So flooded you with data?
Flooded us with data with every lab sheet that the lab could send them. And with the major work by the Environmental Integrity Project, numerous people working on this went through all that data and culled out the information that the industry in many instances was hiding. And what this information showed was something that we have been saying for decades. Since I've started working on this issue, we've been saying that the water is contaminated around these sites. But once and for all, we have proof, and we have proof in the industry numbers, which is very powerful. And as you said, we found that 91% of the plants reporting, and not all coal ash sites and plants had to have yet to produce the data. But of those that are reporting pursuant to the rule, 91% were showing contamination above federal standards, federal health standards.
Let's talk about some of these chemicals. I mentioned chromium, arsenic, lithium. These are essentially chemicals that are leaching from the waste from coal power plants through the ground and into the groundwater in areas surrounding these power plants. So it's not sort of, it's the line between the groundwater contamination and its source is pretty straightforward. But what are these chemicals? What are the impacts that they have when ingested by human beings?
So it's really a cocktail of many different toxic chemicals. We found that at these coal ash sites, the majority had arsenic, which is a potent carcinogen as well as a neurotoxin. But there were also, each site, the majority of the sites had four or more toxic contaminants that include lithium, cobalt, as you said, chromium, lead, radium, which is radioactive, selenium, thallium. So it's not only the individual contaminants, which where the adverse effects are well known. It's also potential cumulative impact from drinking water or to rivers and streams, impacts to aquatic life from a variety of toxic chemicals.
These are linked, most of them, to things like cancer. I imagine in children, probably developmental delays and other impacts.
As I said, arsenic, which is a potent carcinogen, chromium at very low levels causes cancer. Lithium, which was in 62% of the groundwater at high levels around, elevated levels around the coal ash dumps, that causes neurological damage. You have cobalt, which causes damage to the kidney, to the heart, molybdenum causing damage, causing gout-like symptoms. As well as other harms, kidney disease as well. So there's and lead, of course, which is a potent neurotoxin, selenium, which is very, very harmful to fish life at very low levels and also harmful to humans, thallium, which is a rat poison, radium, which of course is radioactive and cancer-causing. So it's quite a long list. I have mentioned the most common contaminants.
So it's very possible that there are people living around these coal plants right now, or at least who are ingesting the groundwater that has been contaminated, that don't know that they are drinking these chemicals, that may be experiencing some of these health symptoms and not connecting it to the fact that there's a coal power plant whose waste is contaminating their water.
It's possible. And the one very troubling thing about the study is that while the industry was required to test the groundwater at the site, it was not required to test drinking water wells within a half mile, for instance, of the plant. Or, and it was not, industry was not required to test surface water into which this contaminated groundwater may be flowing. So the off-site impacts, the impacts to neighbors of the plants and to rivers and streams close to the plant, are completely unknown. So there's a very necessary next step for all of these plants is to determine, is there contaminated groundwater harming human health or the environment, and in what way?
Now, this data that was released by these coal power plants, they were forced to release it. As someone like yourself who's been studying this issue for a long time, did you expect this level of contamination? I mean, they're basically out of compliance, right? These are coal power plants that the majority of which are breaking the law by having this level of contamination.
Yes and no. They're not quite breaking the law yet. So what when they found such high levels of contamination, the next requirement in the coal ash rule is to clean it up. They must control the source, they must stop the leaking, and they must restore the groundwater to its original condition.
But weren't
If
there
they
already regulations in place for certain levels of, or cleanup, et cetera, that they might not have been meeting?
You would think so. But this is the issue with coal ash, is that it wasn't until 2015 that coal ash was regulated by EPA. So these regulations are relatively brand new.
Which is just shocking. I mean, we've had this industry for decades and decades in the United States, and not till the government was forced by groups like yours to start regulating them did they do such a thing. And we're still in the very early stages of just information gathering.
Absolutely. And you're talking about one of the most powerful industries in the US, the coal industry and the utility industry. And they have legions to lobby. They have a tremendous amount of money to lobby our elected officials. And look who we have at the head of the EPA,
Yep,
a
they have one of their
four-person.
own.
Yes.
So let's talk about a little bit more of the details of the report. It was so comprehensive. There's so much information there. What are some of the worst contaminated areas? I know you have a top 10 list.
We have a top 10 list, and but I do want to emphasize that it's a very interesting list. But there are so many other sites that are also severely contaminated, and we have a whole appendix where every plant that is regulated is listed, and you can see the amount of times the level at which the groundwater exceeds the health standards. So for instance, you'll see a plant, it might say 10 times the level for arsenic, 5 times the level for selenium, et cetera, et cetera. So while we have 10 very, very dirty plants talked about specifically in the report, I'd urge readers to check out their plants, and it's pretty astounding, you know, because again, 91% of the country's plants are exceeding safe ground, safe levels in their groundwater. Mm-hmm. But to speak about two plants in particular, it's interesting that there are two Allen plants on this list. One Allen plant, which is a Duke plant in North Carolina.
Allen is the name of the company that in question?
Duke Energy owns one of the Allen plants, the G.G. Allen plant in Belmont, North Carolina. And there, the groundwater was severely contaminated. And Duke has actually provided drinking water through bottled water to residents near that plant. So that's an example where the company was forced, actually under North Carolina law, to test groundwater wells near the plant, determine that that groundwater was impacted, and has provided drinking water to residents around the plant. Secondly, a plant that's been in the news lately is the Allen plant, the TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority Allen plant in Memphis. The drinking water from that plant supplies the city of Memphis. So you have the potential to impact hundreds of thousands of people if the aquifer is contaminated. And TVA just found out, they knew it, but they just released the information publicly that there's a potential that the contaminated water, groundwater from the Allen plant may reach their very, very precious drinking water aquifer. And at the Allen plant, there was severe arsenic contamination over 300 times the safe level. So, you know, there is a lot of work to be done by all of the plants mentioned in this report to make sure that this contaminated water does not enter drinking water or other sensitive environments.
Lisa, explain what the next step is now then that the coal ash rule requires. And are there efforts at the EPA, which would not be surprising, to roll this rule back?
So, you know, there are steps which we outline in our report that would logically occur if we had a functioning EPA that took its mission to protect human health and the environment seriously. Unfortunately, we don't. So while we have a recommended series of steps that must be taken, we don't believe we can rely on the EPA to take any of them. What we've seen from the EPA is its commitment to roll back, meaning to weaken, the 2015 coal ash rule. They started that last summer. We sued them over the rollback that occurred in July. And their plans, we have heard, include two more rollbacks in 2019 that may be even more impactful than their first rollback. So their plans are to run quickly backwards into the arms of industry rather than to take this data to heart and to determine what needs to be done to protect those communities living near these dangerous plants.
How much, what's the future of this industry? I want to say this is an industry that under Obama began to start to see an end point, a wrapping up. Coal is a energy source of the past. It's one of the dirtiest fuels. But of course, under Trump, he promised to revive coal. He made political use of particular demographics that are communities hit, that rely on coal. But I understand that the industry was already waning, wasn't it?
I think the industry is waning for an assortment of reasons. Probably the primary one being the cheap availability of natural gas, or the cheaper energy source of natural gas. We hope that we see renewables playing a role in that competition as well. However, even with the demise of coal, even if all of the coal plants stopped burning coal within the next year, this would not solve the coal ash problem. there are over 3 billion tons of coal ash that have been generated, and that's an industry number, 3 billion tons of coal ash that have been generated over the last decades. And that ash is buried, you know, at sites all across America. If coal plants shut down, that will not stop that contamination from that buried coal ash from flowing into drinking water, rivers, lakes, and streams. So this cleanup, the requirements exist separately from the future of coal burning. We hope that we'll see retirement so that we don't generate another 110 million tons a year as we have been doing in the last decade. We hope that we don't see that kind of generation anymore. But we do have a lasting problem that needs a solution separate from retiring coal plants.
How does one safely dispose of this byproduct? I mean, you know, we hear so much about nuclear power plants and the dangerous nuclear waste they generate, and, you know, what does one do with this? There's such a long half-life. We don't think as much that there is a sort of similar problem with coal ash. It may not be radioactive, but it's leaching toxic chemicals if it is not properly stored. But, you know, someone somewhere has to house in some form this waste that is essentially a useless byproduct, right?
Well, there are some uses for coal ash that EPA has determined is safe, and those include when you put coal ash in a solid substrate. So if you use coal ash as a substitute for Portland cement in concrete, or you use flue gas desulfurization sludge, which is from scrubbers, if you use that in gypsum board, you know, and build a house with it, EPA has said that is very low risk. But the bulk of the ash that's now spread around America in coal ash ponds, coal ash landfills, needs to be disposed in a way that's secure and isolated from water. Water is the enemy of coal ash. When you mix water with coal ash, the contaminants in the coal ash are released. So you want to keep coal ash dry. And, you know, this is not, even though coal ash can be radioactive, we do not have a problem akin to disposing of radioactive waste from nuclear power plants. We know how to build high and dry landfills, landfills that have impermeable barriers, that have fail-safe systems where if they leak, there's a detection system. We know how to put monitoring wells around landfills to detect when they do leak. We know how to control fugitive dust so that the air, that the coal ash is not resuspended in the air. We know how to do this. We just need the will to get it done. We need the will to move the ash out of the groundwater, put it safely in a modern engineered landfill, and then we will be safeguarding the health and environment for the people living next to these coal plants.
If EPA does not act on what your report found, will Earth Justice and your fellow organizations sue?
Well, we have some steps before that. As I said, we've sued over the rollback of EPA's Wheeler's new rule in July. If Andrew Wheeler, EPA administrator, should continue with rollbacks, weakening of the coal ash rule, we will similarly sue EPA for that illegal activity. We won a big case in August from the D.C. Circuit Court, where the Circuit Court of Appeals actually said that the 2015 rule was not strong enough and that EPA had to produce a rulemaking that actually strengthened, not weakened, but strengthened that 2015 rule. So if EPA does not proceed pursuant to the court order to strengthen the rule, that would be in the further grounds for a lawsuit. And then there are grounds for suing utilities if they fail to produce the cleanup plans that are required under the rule, if they fail to execute those plans, if those plans don't adequately clean up the site. So there's a lot of work to be done that can ensure that coal ash does get cleaned up.
Are there, I imagine that your report also offers guidance, and you alluded to this earlier, for local communities to see, you know, to really have some hard facts about what they might have suspected all along, and then take that to put pressure on their utilities or their city councils or other municipalities to take the right kind of action, right?
Absolutely. And I'd love to see citizens looking at this data and feeling empowered by it. And I agree with your suggestion. I think that communities should get their local public officials involved. I think they'll need that help. And fortunately, the federal rule provides for a public forum for all of these cleanup plans. We currently have about 89 plants that are required to produce cleanup plans this spring. And the opportunity for communities is to attend a public meeting, which is required by the rule. The utility must hold a public meeting to discuss the cleanup plan. And communities need to take that hook and to educate themselves on the contamination and to tell the utility exactly what they want, which is to have their drinking water and their surface water protected and not contaminated by the byproduct of burning coal.
Is EPA going to do its own analysis of the data to, you know, confirm what you found in your report, or was the rule just to release data?
The rule was just to release data, so they are under no legal obligation to assess the data. We have been asking them since the data was published last March to please assess this data. Use this time, you know, use the staff that you are currently using to write rules that weaken the requirements. Use that staff to help us and to help communities and to assess, you know, where are the problem areas? You know, which of these plants are most dangerous, and to require testing of residential wells. I mean, the roadmap is clear if EPA wants to do its job to protect communities and protect the environment. It couldn't be more clear. The problem is that EPA doesn't want to do it.
Give out a website, Lisa, where people can find the report and other data and look at it themselves.
Yes, well, we also have a website that we just completed Monday, which provides a map where people can zoom in on any particular plant. They can see see the disposal areas. They can see whether those disposal areas are contaminating groundwater. They can see how much waste was put in those disposal areas. And they can get an updated bird's eye view of the plant that concerns them the most. And they can find that information at earthjustice.org/coalash/map.
And we'll post a link to that as well as the full report from our website. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Lisa Evans, a senior counsel with Earth Justice. We've been discussing the comprehensive and first of its kind study on coal ash contamination nationwide. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.